Okay. Well, let's go on to talk about God's words. We have been in a series for a number of months concerning wisdom. We all need wisdom in our life. We need to know what is the way to live according to God's way. And there's a book in the Bible called the Book of Proverbs, which is meant to teach us wisdom. And we learned that if we really want to be wise people, we need to know God. There's a lot of people with natural wisdom, a lot of stuff at the university we can learn about the universe and science and how the universe is put together. But if we want to be wise people, the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because we need God's perspective on life. Because when God speaks, He speaks truth in a way that impacts us. It's not just informational, it's transformational. And so we learn that we need to seek for wisdom. And wisdom is personified in Jesus Christ, who is in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That wisdom is in the person. It's in God. It's in Jesus Christ. And so we ought to seek Him. And the book of Proverbs gives us insight into the person and the work of Christ. And there's been a number of topics that have been covered. We talked about wisdom in the workplace and how we do our jobs, and wisdom in how we relate in our marriages, and wisdom in how to deal with being single, and wisdom in parenting, and wisdom in how we handle our money and giving. But today's topic is interesting because of all of the different topics you can get wise about, and those are very important ones that I mentioned. But of all the topics that the book of Proverbs talks about, the one that it talks about the most is today's topic. How to be wise in the use of our tongue. There are 70 verses in the book of Proverbs that deal specifically with the tongue. And if you deal with lips and other variants of that theme, 150 times we are given instruction in the book of Proverbs on how to deal with our speech. This is really a vital topic. And further, what we learn in the Bible is that, in fact, our speech is so important as being a guide to whether or not you are really a follower of Jesus, whether or not your heart is really connected to God, that there are some really important scriptures. Let's take a look at some of these scriptures. Let's go on. Okay, here's the scripture of how important it is to master our tongue and to learn how to speak as God would have us speak, because it tells us, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It's comparing words and speech to food. And it's saying if you have good words, it's going to be like a meal that satisfies you, that after you eat them, you just feel, oh, you know, some of those meals in China, they, just want to go to sleep now. You know, just so good, so satisfied. It's saying, man, when you get the words of God and when you get the life-giving words, it's like your soul has just had a great meal. And also it's talking about the fact that our words affect one another. That you are feeding, you know, just like hospitality, as you serve people food and serve your food to them so they can enjoy it. It's like your words are like hospitality. They're like food that get down into the stomachs or into the hearts of people. And you can either satisfy them with good things or you can pollute their hearts. And the Bible says that we are going to eat the fruit of our words. That what we speak is going to have a harvest in our life and in the lives of other people. So what we say, whether it brings life or death, is vital. Let's go on to the next scripture here. You can see that James 1:26 states very clearly, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Wow. This is telling you, you want to be a witness for Christ, you want to identify with Jesus. James is telling us, the Word of God is telling us, that if you cannot control your tongue, if it's speaking death, You're worthless in your following of God. You've totally negated the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting to me that in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, when God told his disciples to wait in the upper room where they would receive power from the Holy Spirit. They were waiting, they were praying to God, and the Holy Spirit came in power. What was the first thing that was affected? Their tongues. They began to speak in other languages. Their tongue was affected by the power of God. That the reality is when God comes with power on our life, the place where he deals with us is in our speech. Let's go on to the next verse. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. It's saying the way that you speak is going to give an indication as to whether or not you are faultless and righteous. That you can't say, oh, I'm a righteous person and not have a godly tongue. And not have a tongue that speaks life. That brings the power of life, the word of God to people. This is how important this topic is. That's why Proverbs gives more attention, more space to talking about the use of our tongue than anything else. And therefore, if you're here this morning, you want to love Jesus, you want to follow him more closely, the scripture is telling us you can't do that without mastering your tongue. You need to know how to speak the words of life. So let's ask God for help that we might get this into our spirits. Lord, we thank you that your word is so clear, so powerful, so life-giving, that your words are full of life. And so I pray that today, through your word, you would bring conviction and that you bring power on us so that we could live this out, that we could be perfect in our speech, that our whole body will be in check because you bring our tongues under your control. Help us, Lord. And I pray specifically, Lord, for those that are struggling, that under the examination of your word, that our failures are seen. But thank you that you give us hope and grace to change, and I pray that will come about today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's talk about, very simply, how to speak life and not death into the lives of people. Let's go on. Here's Jesus also talking about the fact that what we talk about is an indication of what's in our heart. That it reveals to us the spiritual and moral condition of our heart, what we speak about. Because it's out of the abundance, it's out of our heart that our mouth speaks. The mouth reveals what it is that is the priorities, reveals to us what is it that we're meditating on, what is it that we're thinking about. So when you start listening to someone, you start hearing with their topics and the way they say things, you realize what's in their heart. And God says, if your heart is good, your speech will be good. And if your heart is bad, your speech will be full of death. So we need to understand how to get the right heart. Okay, let's go on. So two types of speech. Life-giving words and death-giving words. I like the sound of the first one better, don't you? So let's talk about it. How do we speak words of life? Well, God is our model and our example of how to give affirming words. First of all, life-giving words are affirming words. An affirming word is when we pronounce the blessing on what we see God doing. Affirming word is when we acknowledge the work of God's grace in someone else's life. We can see this the way the Father did this with Jesus at his baptism. Put that scripture up. It says, when God was at the baptism, oh, okay, fountain of life, tree of life. Let's go on. Okay. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The Father God of the universe. And looking at what Jesus was doing, was not simply content to observe the obedience of Christ at his baptism. He was not simply content to say, Jesus is doing what he should do. No, what he wanted to do is he wanted to speak his affirming word over the life of his son. That he spoke these words, I love you and I am pleased with you. His identity as his son was being confirmed with love. And the fact is that he was giving the affirmation for what Jesus was about. Now, if Jesus didn't need the affirming word in order to do what God called him to do. But the fact that the Father wanted to provide it for him, and he spoke it over his life. He spoke it to him. This is the model for us to recognize this is what we are called to do. As the Father did for Jesus and spoke the affirming word. So parents, every father should be doing this with his children. And we should be doing this with one another. That when we recognize, we want to express to others this type of encouragement and affirmation in their life. Let's take a look at how Paul did this in his writings in Romans chapter 16. At the end of Romans, book of Romans, he's talking about his friends. He's talking about those people in the church. And he very specifically writes down things about their life to affirm them. You could see Romans 16:12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who worked hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. He's affirming these women. He's acknowledging their hard work, and he's pointing it out not only to them, but before others, so they could receive the affirmation of the church. Now, brothers and sisters, some of us, our personalities are quiet. We don't use a lot of words. And there's something of value to that, to not use a lot of words. And some of us come from cultures where we have been taught not to affirm. That is, if somebody's doing what they're supposed to do, you don't need to say something to them. Just because one of the realities is in American culture, words are cheap. People love ice cream. They love all sorts of things. They use all sorts of pleasantries all the time. And so it can be really cheap. But it's also a problem if we think that because someone is doing their job or doing what they're supposed to do, that they don't need any affirming words. We misunderstand the way God created us and misunderstand the power of words. You know, when I was in China, I met with a ministry team. I asked him this question. When was the last time you guys expressed appreciation for the work of the other people on your team? They couldn't remember. It wasn't part of their lives. I asked the one guy, do you think you could say something positive about one member of your team? He like froze. He said, he just couldn't do it. You know, I was doing marriage counseling a lot in China. I was with one couple. And the wife had shared with me, the husband never speaks any affirming words, never speaks much at all to his wife. And she was like, so like hollow. She just wanted to have a deep conversation with her husband. And so I said, do you think you could sit down and talk to your wife and ask her this question? I'm going to give you something really difficult to do. I want you to ask your wife two or three questions. How was your day today? And secondly, is there anything you're struggling with today? And he said, you know what he told me? He said, I can't do that. And it's one of the times that I get very direct because we have to understand there's the book of Proverbs also has a lot about rebuking. So speaking affirming words doesn't mean we never rebuke. So I said to him, with all sincerity, said, "You are a stubborn man. And you need to repent." And, you know, I heard after I left, his wife wrote to me and said, "He talked to me today." I said, "Blow, Holy Spirit, blow on it, you know. Oh, fan it into flames." But we need to learn how to do this. We should study how to do this. How do you learn how to do this? Isaiah 50, verse 4 is a key. This is the key to learn how to speak life-giving words of affirmation. And it says this: "The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens me as one being taught." This means that what God wants is in the morning for us to get up and to listen to what He has to say to us. That we want to receive His words first of all, because He has the life-giving words. The Word of God is full of life. And if we can listen to what God has to say, then we have something to share with one another, to encourage one another and to affirm one another. We can't just do it like by memorizing expressions. We need it because we get the heart of God in us and we get His words in our mind and our heart so we can speak those words to one another with life. Look at another example from Paul. Let's go on to the next one. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. I think Paul liked hardworking people. You know, I kind of got that impression that one of the things he wanted to commend was people who worked hard. Okay, but not only that. "Greet Antichus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles. And they were in Christ before I was there." You say, "Oh man, Paul, don't say that. These guys are going to get big heads. They're going to get puffed up. You know, oh, how about the other people? They could feel, oh, these are outstanding people. What about us?" No, no. Just acknowledge, these are outstanding guys. They're serving the Lord. They're suffering for the Lord. Let's commend them. Let's affirm them. We need to do this, to speak the word of saying, I recognize, you know, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I wanted to affirm our two brothers here this morning in front of you all. I wanted to speak the word of affirmation over their lives because I saw a good thing that God did in them. I hope they were encouraged, because that's what God wanted to do, was to encourage them. When we speak the word of affirmation, it strengthens us because we see, oh, God has seen my work of labor. Now we know it. We know God sees us all the time. We know that in our heart we can have His pleasure. But when His people speak to one another with words of life and affirm them, it's like the word of God coming to us again. Strengthens us. We need to learn this. We need to learn how to speak words of affirmation. We need to look for it. We need to look for the character of other people, where God is at work in their character. We need to look at the place where they have done something to encourage us and to affirm that. Okay, let's keep going here. Other life-giving words are prophetic words and encouraging words. Encouraging words are when someone is discouraged, and because of that discouragement, they lose motivation. They lose ambition. They feel sad. Encouraging words are when we declare what God says is true so they can gain strength to do what God has called them to do. Actually, the word encourage means to place courage in someone. Someone is facing a difficulty in their life and they wonder, are they going to be able to do it? The person who speaks encouraging words says, you know, with God's help, God said you can do it. God can give you strength for this. God says He's the God of perseverance. You don't have to give up. You don't have to give up on your marriage. You don't have to give up on the fact that that this hasn't changed for 5 years. God wants you to persevere. You can do it with His help. You can keep going. Get that strength in them so they don't give up. We need that type of encouragement in our lives, don't we? When somebody does something wrong to us and we're hurt, encourage them, oh, brother, oh, sister, God still has His love set on you. He still has plans and purposes for you. Don't give up. He's not done yet. We need to speak those encouraging words. And then we need to speak prophetic words. Prophetic words are the realization that God shows us something specific for that person. That when we're praying for them, the thoughts of God come to us so that when we're praying over them, we're picturing for them that desirable future that God has in store. And it's not just our thoughts. It's not just that we're having ideas for them. It's that God is strengthening them by telling them, here's where I'm leading you. Here's where I'm heading forth. This is the direction of your life. You know, there was a little boy who got baptized in China. And when I saw his heart, I tell you, this boy, I started teaching out of the book of Romans. I made them all learn Romans 12:1. That was what I spoke on for 2 hours, Romans 12:1. And I said, we're going to memorize this together. And then the next day I spoke for 2 hours on Romans 12:2. And we memorized that together. And then when I said, okay, who can quote Romans 12:1 and 12:2? This little boy stood up and he said, I can do it. And he quoted it. He went all the way from Romans 12:1 through 5. And I saw that boy. He did it with eagerness. And I saw when he was praising God enthusiastically. And when I went to pray for that boy, I just felt the Spirit of God on me praying for him. I said, you are like Samuel. To know the voice of God at an early age, and like Samuel to serve before God all the days of your life, and may the Spirit that was in Samuel be on you. And I began to prophesy over that boy, just the Spirit of what God did in Samuel's life. And it encouraged his mom, encouraged this boy. And that's like a prophetic word. We need affirming words. We need encouraging words. We need prophetic words. These are the ways that we speak the truth of God. And we need, you know, we need these. By the way, we need not only to speak this to other people, we need to speak it to ourselves. You know, you feed yourself a diet when you speak as well. And you can eat on death or life each day. When you begin to confess, oh, things are so bad for me. My professor is so hard. And he doesn't understand me. Things are always going wrong. And I'm never going to get ahead in life. And you just start making a lot of negative statements about your life. Do you know that there's a whole field of research? I don't know if anybody's in linguistics here, but there's a whole field of research about the actual power of things that we speak and the way that they affect our lives, that actually words are an action that have an effect. They've done studies for doctors who have taught their patients to speak positive words like, I'm getting better. And that when they speak that there actually has a physiological effect on their bodies. Now, I'm not just talking about the power of positive thinking here. I'm talking about the power of God's Word. That what we need to confess is what God says is true about our lives, not what we think about our own lives. And so as we get the Word of God, we begin to confess it, that I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me, and that I have everything I need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called me according to His own goodness and glory, and that I'm convinced that nothing will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ, and this trouble that I'm going through is not going to separate me from the love of God. And when you start to make those confessions to yourself and you speak to yourself the Word of God, you get life and you get nourished. So we need to speak it to others and we need to speak it to ourselves when we get up in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Therefore, I will rejoice and be glad in it. You speak to yourself like that? What about today? This is the day the Lord has made. So if God made the day and he gave you life to live in it, and he's still got a purpose in your life, otherwise you'd be dead. Right? If he's done with you, you're dead. So the fact that you're here, he's not done. That's good news. I like that. Yeah. I was telling someone on Friday night, hey, when I'm done with God's will, I'll be dead. I'm not done yet. He's not done. I got more. You say, well, Paul knew when he was done. He had finished. And he was glad because he knew there was a crown of righteousness then laid up for him. So even then, it's not bad. Okay. Wow, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I guess I won't take much on the death-giving words. I'm gonna preach just as long on death. I'll let you look at it real quick. Let's put up the death. There's the death-giving words. Gossip and slander, obscene words, coarse joking. Some of this comes out of, we can look at so many verses in Proverbs about the way that your words can be like knives and swords and daggers and poison. Oh, yeah. David, he said in the Psalms, like their words were like swords that pierced my heart. They were like arrows that were shot at me. And our words can be that type of death. Let's take a look at a couple words from the New Testament here. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to the needs that they may benefit those who listen. Unwholesome talk. Unwholesome talk, the word unwholesome is the word that comes from corrupted or putrefied or rotten. And it's the picture of like fish that has gone bad. And that is smelling really bad. And it's like in the refrigerator for a month, and you stick your head in that refrigerator, and you go, oh! Now get that odor in your mind. And think about the fact that your words are like rotten fish. When you speak the words that are not according to God's word, the Bible says, don't be unwholesome. And one more verse, next verse. Says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Let me tell you, my friends, we live in a culture that is full of obscenity and coarse joking and unwholesome speech. If you enjoy watching late night talk radio, if you enjoy watching the comedians of our day who thrive on innuendo, taking any word and turning it on its head to make it infer something else that is dirty or unholy or takes reverent things and makes them light, and you are able to continue to laugh at those things, you are participating in the foolishness of this world that has speech that has no value to it, and causes us to look at life like it is nothing, and looks at putting other people down as a hobby, and looks at the type of things of God with disdain. And we live in a people of unclean lips. And that's why when Isaiah went to worship the Lord, the first thing that God showed him was that he needed his tongue touched, he needed his mouth touched, because he was full of unclean speech. And we live in this society, and I'll tell you, it's hard to go through any day without hearing a sexual joke that puts down the holiness of what God created to be good. And if we want life and not death, we're going to have to learn how not to find that funny anymore. Because out of our hearts, we have a thanksgiving to God. Now, I'm not done, but I'm going to finish. Two questions. What do other people hear coming from your mouth? Do they hear the words that bring life, that build up, that affirm, that encourage? What are you speaking to your spouse? What are you speaking to your friends? What are you speaking to yourself when you get up in the morning? What do they hear you speaking? Do you have a mouth that is full of praise? And secondly, what do the ears of God hear when you speak? Does God hear you with thanksgiving in your heart? Do you know how to give thanks in the midst of difficulties? Do you know how to give thanks in all things? Do you learn how to praise God and honor Him when you're in the prison? Do you know how to speak positively when you're going through a test? When we're going through the test is when our hearts are really tested to see what is going to come out of our heart. And is it going to be thanksgiving and praise, or is it going to be complaining and grumbling and moaning and negativism? May God help us today to speak the words of life. Let's pray. Lord, just as you did on the day of Pentecost and you sent your Holy Spirit to touch the mouths of those disciples gathered, and just as you did for Isaiah when he was worshiping you and you came and you touched his mouth, Lord, I'm asking you to come and touch our mouths today. Now I know, Lord, you need to first touch our hearts, that we need hearts that are springs that flow so that our mouths will speak out of it. Now, just like Isaiah repented before the Lord, he repented because he recognized that he had unclean lips, that he had spoken in the way of his culture. So some of us here, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to surrender your tongue, your speech to Him in a fresh way, because you are convicted that you have been speaking words of death, that you're a critical person, you tear other people down with your words, you're a person who doesn't give thanks. You haven't affirmed a person in a long time. You've not spoken words of life. And God wants to help you. But the first step is to repent. To say, God, I need your help to change. Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to surrender my tongue to you. And I want you to come and fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to change. If that's your desire and your request this morning, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Lord, I thank you for these that are so desirous of your power in their lives that they were willing to acknowledge their need and humble themselves before you. And Lord, I thank you that you have great promises for those that raise their hands, that Lord, you are going to come in response to their repentance. You're going to lift them up. And Lord, I pray that you would train their tongues through their heart transformation. Lord, I pray today would be the day of advancement for them. Today would be the day of breakthrough, because they are coming to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for testimonies to come as a result of them taking your words into their heart today. Lord, break the pattern in their life. Break it today so they can start a new pattern. Lord, I just pray for ANCF that we would be a life-speaking church, that we would speak life to the nations, that we would speak life to one another, we'd speak life to ourselves. Lord, that when people come here and are in our small groups, they would know there is life in this place because you are in our midst and you are in our hearts, filling them with praise and thanksgiving. Come and do this, Lord. Ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we get a chance to respond by singing and also by praying. And I just love to encourage those of you who God is speaking to come for prayer today. You know, prayer is words too. When we agree together in prayer and acknowledge what God is saying, there's power in that. And so I think it's really good for you not to stay in your seats when God speaks to you, but to come and pray with others and to confirm what God is saying. If anyone is here today who has never come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where your sins are forgiven, and where the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. It's the best thing that you can ever do in your life. And I would invite you to come forward and to make that decision and to pray and to confirm it. Today would be a good day to do it. So I'm going to have Brent and Nate and Joanna come forward. Let's pray for these brothers and this sister as Joanne returns to Kyrgyzstan to serve the Lord. Let's pray for her that she would have God's anointing on her life. Let's pray for Brent as he goes to the University of Houston and begins to teach economics, that he would be a godly professor. Nate, where are you going? Washington Department of Agriculture. Let's pray that he'd be very fruitful. Let's pray for this guy. And then the others of you, let's have the prayer team on the sides, and others of you can come for prayer. Either pray for these guys or come and give prayer for yourself, or sing to the Lord. Let's stand.